There's working to live or living to work. And in our introductory session last week, we shared with you how work is not a curse, but it is a gift from God. If you see work as a curse, then you will be toiling by the sweat of your brow. But if you understand that work is a gift from God, then you will come into a place called rest. When Noah was born, Lamech said that this one will give us or bring us into a place of comfort, and he will bring us into a place of rest. The name Noah means rest. And we know that after Noah built the ark, and everyone that was in the ark eventually came out, there were eight of them, there was a new beginning on the earth and a new perception of what work entails. So while you see the ground as cursed, you have to know that everything is redeemed in Christ. That is why even when Jesus was on the cross, Joseph of Arimathea knew the law, that if a man hangs on the cross overnight, the earth will be cursed. And this is why he took down the body and he buried it in his own tomb. So work is a gift from God. It is not a curse. Now, today's session will be focused on how we need to see work as worship, work as worship. On many occasions, we have shared with you the difference between Greek thinking and Hebrew thinking, the way the Greeks think about certain matters and the way the Hebrew thinks about certain matters. Now, when we use that in our context, it's basically the secular and what is scriptural. So the secular view of life is linear, but the scriptural view of life is cyclic, meaning as sons of God with a scriptural understanding, we know that all our actions will have a consequence. Or it will, that means every seed you sow, you will reap. What a man sows, he reaps. So that's called cyclical thinking. But in the linear view of thinking, it's just about progression. So it doesn't matter who you trample over just to get to the next step. You don't consider the consequences. This is the difference between secular thinking and scriptural thinking. Now, the secular view of work is different from the scriptural view of work. Now, when I make a statement like work is worship, you must understand what is the secular view of worship. The secular view of worship is seen as an event. So it is based on a religious day, it is based at a certain time, etc. The scriptural view of worship is seen as continual service to God. All of life's activities, including work, is worship and service to God. Now, because our minds are trained to believe that worship is an event, for instance, the half an hour session that we have on Sundays where we sing a few songs, we have fast songs and we have slow songs, etc. We make it event, but we separate our work from worship because our mindset around worship is event-based. Now, the Hebrew view, or which is a scriptural view of worship, was seen as service to God or even service to man. In the Hebrew meaning of the word worship, there are over 12 different meanings, and that's a session on its own to get through each one. But if you had to summarize those 12 different words, they would be categorized into three basic areas, which is representation, worship, and service to God. In Colossians 3, verse 22 to 24, this is what Paul was writing to the Colossian church to tell them what the Christian life and what the Christian home should be like. And he covers the area of being servants and being bond servants and being masters. So in Colossians 3:22, he says, "Bond servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh," basically your employer. So if you are an employee, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh. So obey your employer. And this is how he puts it. Not with eye service. That means you're not doing it because you want them to notice you. You're not doing it because you want them to see what you are doing. But it says not doing it as eye service or as men pleasers. But he says do it because it is in sincerity of heart, fearing God. Now, when you do that, that means as you engage in your daily activities at work and you're doing it in sincerity of heart and fearing God, whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men. Verse 24, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance. And listen to the last part, for you serve the Lord Jesus Christ. So when you go to work and you are engaged in your daily activities, don't do it to please your masters, but do it because you serve the Lord Jesus Christ. Basically, you're seeing your work as worship unto the Lord and you are serving God and you're doing it in sincerity of heart and because you fear the Lord. Colossians 4 verse 1 says, masters, this is now talking to the employers or the one who would be regarded as the master within the scriptures. Give your bond servants what is just and fair, knowing that you also have a master in heaven. So, as sons of God, while we are called to obey our masters in the flesh, not because they watch us or because we want to please them, but because we see as our work as worship to God, we obey and we do our work to the best of our ability. And those who are masters must be fair to their employees, because we also have a master in heaven, as the Bible says. So even an employer must see their service to their employees as worship to the Lord. So our work is service to Christ, therefore it is worship. Now this is the temptation that Jesus faced in the book of Matthew chapter 4 verse 9 and 10. And he said to him, all these things I will give to you if you will fall down and worship me. So what did Satan want? He wanted Jesus to fall down and worship him. Who is Jesus? He is the Son of God. Who are you? You are the Son of God. So do you know the agenda has not changed, but it comes in a different form. Then Jesus said to him, away with you, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. So true worship is to serve God in all that we do, and we must see our work as worship to God. Now, when you see our work as just a place of earning an income or getting financial remuneration so that we can live a good life, then we are working to serve a different master. Because it is clear from Matthew 6:24, you can't serve two masters. You can only serve one master. Either you will hate the one or love the other. You will be loyal to the one or despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. So you will worship what you serve. Now, if you serve mammon, then you will worship it by bowing down to it because of what it will give you. This is what Satan tempted Jesus with. If we see our work as worship to God, then we are choosing to serve another master. We are not choosing to serve the master called mammon. Now, mammon is not money. I have discussed this with you on previous sessions. But it is the spirit of deceitful riches that entices us and makes us unfaithful. This is the story of Luke chapter 16 about the unfaithful steward. He who is faithful in what is least is also faithful in much, but he who is unjust in the least is also unjust in much. And in the same context, it is said, you cannot serve two masters. So you have to be faithful to the one in terms of how you handle it and how you deal with it, so that it can be seen as worship to God. Now, when Jesus was seduced by Satan to bow down and to worship him, you must know that the same kind of temptation we face, because whatever mammon offers you is deceitful. Everything from the spirit of mammon is designed to fool us into thinking that we are working with it and it will end well. But mammon wants you to serve it. It is personified by deceitful riches. This is how you get trapped into serving mammon. And when you serve it, inevitably you bow down to it. This is why people cannot see their work as worship to God because they are serving another master. The moment we reorientate our minds around the concept of work as worship to God, you will find yourself not bowing down to another master, but God will allow the same riches that you get through your work to be used to advance the kingdom of God. So this requires a transformation of our minds with regard to how we see work as worship to God. This was the mindset of the Hebrew even when they regarded the Shema. According to Deuteronomy chapter 6, they would say that you must worship the Lord with your body, your soul, and your spirit. So everything was used to bring glory and honor to God, even our work. But if you talk to most people about their work, they dread it. They don't enjoy it. They don't like it. Yes, there are a few people that say, yes, I do enjoy my job. I like what I do. It motivates me. It inspires me, etc., etc. But the majority of people don't. But I am not talking to the secular company. I'm talking to a company that should be living according to scriptural demands. And the scriptural demand for work is that it should not be seen as something that is there to make us toil, but it is seen as something that is there that where God can be worshipped through our service. Now, yes, in a secular environment, you will get abused. People will put all kinds of bondages, put all kinds of quotas. Today we call them budgets, and we call them different kinds of quotas that we have to meet. And so you find yourself under a lot of pressure. But the moment you keep reorientating your mind that whatever I'm doing because it's in the sincerity of heart and in the fear of God, and I'm doing it because it is worship unto my God, you will find that slowly the rest of God will come into you. You will find that the wisdom of God will start to manifest in your life for those complex problems that you sometimes cannot solve. Why? Because you have transformed your mind into seeing work as worship unto the Lord. I pray this morning that there will be a transformation of our thinking regarding how we view work as worship unto God. Let's pray. Thank you this morning, Father, for your word that reminds us that whatever we do on earth is service unto the Lord. When we go to work, I pray for a transformation of our minds, a renewal of our minds. Thank you, Father, that we will begin to see our places of employment as a place where we can serve you wholeheartedly. How do we do that? We go to work in sincerity of heart. We go to work fearing the Lord because we know that we carry the principle of representation, that we are sons of God carrying the image of God. We don't want to see our work as a curse, but a place of where it is a gift to us, to be a blessing to our family, to be a blessing to those around us. Pray for a reorientation of our mind. And I lift off every burden, maybe those that are feeling pressurized at work, some that are feeling disgruntled at work, some that are dissatisfied at work, some that are unhappy at work, some that are under severe pressure at work. And today as I pray for them, I pray that even as their mind is transformed and their spirit begins to receive the word, there will be a lifting of this burden from their lives and they will begin to see work as worship unto the Lord. May the Lord begin to work in their lives, working together with them to have great impact in their places of employment. In the name of Jesus Christ, we ask this. Amen.